You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, I'm In. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Wow, is that incredible or what? Welcome to the second week of I'm In. And if you're not in yet, I want to challenge you to get in. I want to challenge you to get in this race that God has marked out for each and every one of us. I want you to be able to run and run by faith so that you can run to win. The Hebrew writer gives us a description of what this literally looks like when he writes these words in Hebrews chapter 12. He says, therefore, in light of what I just said, in light of the God in whom we serve, since we have surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us. There are things in my life, there are things in your life that will keep you from running this race and running to win. And so he says, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance. Check this out. The race marked out for us. The race marked out for you and you and you and you and for all of us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the one who got all of this started, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so I want to welcome you today, and I want to encourage you to get in this race, and not just in this race, but get in it with an attitude of running to win. Now, every Olympic relay race has four legs to it. And likewise, the race that we believe that God is calling us as a group, as a church, also as individuals, we believe that it also has four legs to the race. And I want to share those with you so that you can be very, very clear about this race that I'm inviting you into, and most importantly, God is inviting you into. So let's look at it. Here's the first leg of the race, and that is this. I'm in for reaching our family and friends. This is all about reaching our family and friends. Why? Because we believe that everybody spends forever somewhere. And so at all of our campuses, we're growing. In most of them, we're out of room, and we need space. And so we're in for reaching our family and friends. Secondly, we're in for reaching our community. You know, in this race that we're running, that we're saying, I'm in, we want to be able to invest, and we want to be able to serve our communities. We want to be able to give and invest $100,000 into each of our communities and be a blessing to them. Here's the third leg of the race. We want to reach Ohio. We want to reach our state. And it has been said that the most effective way in reaching people who do not know Jesus Christ is by starting new works. And we want to be able to continue to start new campuses as God leads and as God provides and as God directs. And then finally, we want to be able to reach our world. We want to be able to reach our world. God so loved the world. So love the world. And we're doing that. We're doing that by helping and supporting and investing in ministries like 8 Days of Hope that have gone to areas like West Virginia and Texas and Louisiana and Florida, helping people. And by helping them, being able to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. We're in the Middle East. We have 1,500 house churches in the Middle East. We're in the prisons in Egypt, of where we're serving 2,700 prisoners. And we're seeing them come to faith. We're in Iraq, of where this past year we saw 150 people from the majority religion of that country come to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's incredible. And so I'm inviting each and every one of you into this race. And I'm not just inviting you into the race. I'm inviting you to run to win, to run by faith like we learned last week, to be able to know God and believe God and then surrender to God and let Him do something incredible in you and through you. Now, here's what I know about all of us. We all have something in common here today. We're all living, okay, life and trying to find fulfillment and satisfaction. You see, there's three basic issues of life that all of us are struggling with. One would be this right here. One would be our identity. Who am I? Who am I really? And do I really matter? That's the importance factor. Do I matter? That's the second issue that we're dealing with. And then the third issue that we're dealing with is, what is my place in life? And so all of us, no matter what your age is today, you're basically dealing with these issues of life. Who am I? Do I matter? And what is my place in life? What race am I supposed to run? You see, this has tremendous impact on how you and I live life. You see, all of us here today are living on one of three levels. The first level would be survival. And that is, we're basically just existing. We're just going through life. We get up, we go to work, we come home, we watch a little bit of TV, we go to bed, we get up, we go home, we watch a little bit of TV, and we just do it over and over again. And really, we're just existing, we're surviving. Others are on the successful level. You're successful. You know what? You got money in the bank. You got a nice car. You're able to go on vacation. You're having a lot of fun in your life. But the fact of the matter is, you're not fulfilled. You're not content. You're not satisfied. Because success is like pop. It tastes good, but it never quenches your thirst. And apart from eternity and being able to come to grips with your spirituality, you will always feel empty, because what you long for and what I long for is significance. And significance is all about doing something for eternity, something that is so big I have to invite God into it, something that is so important that it lasts beyond my time here on earth. And when you and I understand the race that God has marked out for us, and we embrace it, and we run by faith, and as we're going to learn today, we run with purpose, what happens is you will begin to experience what you're really created for, and that is significance. No amount of success will bring satisfaction to you or fulfillment to you. You will still be longing for something more. And some of you right now, the light has just gone on. Because you're successful. You're more successful than what you've ever been. You're more successful than your mother and father. And you're wondering why you're not satisfied, why you're not content, why you have this deep thirst for something more. It's because you're longing for significance. And for you to be able to experience significance, you have to run by faith with purpose. And so I'm so glad that you're here today. Now, there's two ways to find your purpose in life. One is through speculation, and that's how most people do it. Well, I think I might like this, I might enjoy this, I could make some money doing this, or I could pay the bills doing this. And basically, it's through speculation. And what happens is you'll find yourself living either on the level of survival or success. But there's another way in which you and I can find our purpose. And it's through this. It's through revelation. Revelation. That is, we look to the one who created us. We look to the one who knitted us together in our mother's womb. We look to the one who has gifted us. The one who has given us our personality. The one who has given us our talent. The one who has blessed us with life, and that is God himself. And Paul understood this. Paul understood what it meant to run by faith. And not only that, but to run with purpose. And so he writes a church in Ephesus addressing this. And here's what he says. He says, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Do you get that? It's in Christ that you find out who you are. Have you ever heard somebody say this? Well, I just need to get away and find out who I really am. You'll never discover who you really are by yourself. That's speculation. You need a revelation. And so Paul says, it is in Christ that we find out who we are. And who are we? We're significant. We're secure. And we're accepted. That's who we are. and what we are living for. He goes on to say this. He says, long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, all right, we all have our hopes up, because the fact of the matter is most of us here today was hoping that life would be better than what it is, even though you're successful. He says, long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for what? Glorious living, for purposeful living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. Wow. And so what happens is your life and my life is too important to try to determine our purpose in life by speculation, even by experience. You're not going to live long enough to be able just to experience life and find out what your purpose is. You might be an old man by the time you find out, or an old woman by the time you find out. We need a revelation, and God has given us that. And the one who wrote that, Paul, here's what he writes to another church in Corinth. He says this, so I run with purpose in every step. Wow. You know what he is saying? He is saying that life is too short to screw up. Life is too short to mess up. Life is too short just to waste. So he says, I run with purpose in every step. Now here's what I want to do. I want to help you with that. And I want to share with you five questions that has helped me in my own personal walk to be able to run with purpose and to bring meaning in my life and to help me to be able to experience significance of being able to realize that my life does matter and that I am important and that I understand my role in all of this. And so let me encourage you to take your note-taking guide and you can follow along, all right? Here's the first question. What will be the center of my life? What will be the center of my life? This is the first question that you and I have to answer if we're going to run by faith. And let me just make it even more simpler for us, okay? Here's the question that we're asking. Who are you going to live for? See, all of us here today, we're living for someone. We're living for someone. Who are you going to build your life on? What are you going to build your life around? It may be your career. It may be your family. It may be money. It may be fun. It may be many different things. And these are okay, but they are not strong enough to be able to endure the challenges of life, the disappointments of life, the heartache of life. They're just not strong enough to hold you together when your world comes crashing in. And so you have to come back and you have to ask this question here. What is going to be the center of your life? What is going to be the center of your life? There's a king in the Old Testament, Asa. And he was leading a group of people. And you know what? They were centering their life on many, many different things. Good things, but not the best thing. And here's what he told the people that he was leading. He said, he told Judah to center their lives in God. To center their lives in God. And that's what I would challenge you. You want to run with purpose? You have to answer this question. What's going to be the center of my life? What can hold my life together when everything is falling apart? And it has to be God. It has to be the person of Jesus Christ. See, here's what Paul says about Jesus. You are complete in him. Let me ask us this question here today. How many of you feel complete? I'm telling you, most of us here today don't feel complete. Because the center of your life is not Jesus Christ. When Jesus is the center of your life, you have a sense of security about you. You have a sense of contentment about you. You are running with purpose. Matter of fact, Jesus even said it like this. He said, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Have him be the center and live righteously, be in right relationship with God and with other people, and he will give you everything you need. Now, how do you know when God is the center of your life? You don't worry. Y'all okay on that one? You say, uh-oh, he shifted. You see, when you accept Jesus Christ, he comes in and he's the center of your life. But we have a tendency to shove him off into the corners of our life. And he's a part of our life, he's just not the center of our life. And worry is a warning that God is no longer at the center of your life. Are you all okay? So what does that mean? We got a lot of people who the center of their life is not Jesus Christ. Look what he says here. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Have him at the center of your life, and he will give you everything you need. If he is going to give you everything you need, why are you worried? Because he's not at the center of your life. And so that's the first question. What's the center of your life? If you're going to run with purpose, it has to be Jesus Christ, because everything else around you will fall apart. Here's the second question, and it is this. What will be the character of my life? What will be the character of my life? And here's what I mean by that. What kind of person will you be? What kind of person will you be? Do you know that God is more interested in your character than he is in your comfort? That's why you need to hang with me in the I'm In series, because I'm going to lead you to a place of being uncomfortable, all right? Some of you, I'm sure, will check out. You know why? Because you're not interested in your character being developed. Your character and my character is not developed during comfort times. It's developed during times of being challenged. And so you have to ask yourself this question. What's going to be the character of my life? And what kind of person will you be? You see, what happens is you're going to take your character into eternity. You will leave your career behind. And your character will affect how much you're able to achieve in life. It'll have a dramatic impact on how much you're able to achieve in life. It will determine whether you're worth knowing or not. Y'all right on that one? It will make and break every relationship that you have. You see, your character as well as my character is the internal script that will determine how you and I respond to failure, how we respond to success, how we respond to mistreatment, and how we respond to pain. It all goes back to your character. I like to say it like this. You don't know what none of us are like until you put us in hot water, because we're all like tea bags. It's when we're in hot water, when we're mistreated, when we experience a painful situation, when we experience failure, that our true colors come out. And what we have to understand is that your character is the most important thing about you, and it comes from having your life centered on Jesus Christ. You see, your talent and your charisma might get you hired, but it's character that will allow you to stay there for a long, long time. Your good looks and your net worth might get you married, but it'll be your character that will keep you married. Y'all right? So you need to ask this question. What's going to be the character of my life? You may be able to have children. God may be able to bless you with children, but it'll be your character that will determine your relationship with them. You see, your character and my character either paves the way or prevents the way of you and I enjoying life. Because your character and my character affects every relationship we have. That's why Paul would write this about Jesus. He said, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Be able to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And so if you're going to run with purpose, you have to ask yourself this question. What's going to be the center of my life, and what's going to be the character of my life? You see, Paul writes about this, and he says this, Peter does. And Peter had some character issues, but he was transformed because he said, you know what? I want the character of my life to be like Christ. And here's what he writes. He says, his divine power, talking about Jesus, has given us everything we need for a godly life. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Run by faith, but make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. And then check this out. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. What's going to keep you and I from not running life with a purpose? A lack of character. What's going to make you and I capable and able to run with purpose? It's our character. So what kind of person do you want to be known for? See, you have to choose that. You know what? I've made a list for me. I want to be a person who's generous. I want to be a person who's available. I want to be a person who's genuine. I want to be a person who is transparent. I want to be a person who's genuine. That's what I do. I do those things perfectly? No, that's my goal, though. That's what I want to be known for. And you have to be able to set that up. You have to be able to determine that. Let me give you the third question as we move on. What will be the contribution of my life? What will be the contribution of my life? We're talking about running with purpose. What's going to be the contribution of your life? Here's what I'm asking. What will you be known for? Let me just throw some names out there. Billy Graham. Michael Jordan. Mother Teresa. Babe Ruth. Let me ask you a question. Which legacy would you rather have? Would you rather be known for what Billy Graham has done or Michael Jordan? Would you rather be known for what Babe Ruth did or Mother Teresa? You're going to be known for something. And it's going to go back to what you contributed. Michael Jordan contributed much to the game of basketball. I don't know how much he's contributed to the game of life. Y'all all right? Babe Ruth contributed much to the game of baseball. I don't know how much he contributed to life. How about Mother Teresa? What are you going to be known for? You see, Paul tells us in Ephesians, he says, "For we are God's handiwork," or "we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." The word there, good works, is not talking about just kind acts. It's talking about good works are those that last forever and ever and ever and ever. You and I were created to make an eternal difference here. That's what he's talking about, good works. He says, "We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You see, God's already marked out a race for you and I to run. And that's why you're alive today. And he's created you. He's gifted you. He's blessed you. He's resourced you to be able to make a contribution. You see, listen, he has not given you life just to take up resources and time and air and space here. He's created you to make a difference in this world, to run by purpose. That's why Paul goes on to say, when he writes to the church in Corinth, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give." You should decide right now, what am I going to contribute to the world? What am I going to contribute to my community? What am I going to contribute to my church? What am I going to contribute to my family? Because what happens is, if you don't decide in your heart, you will come to the end of your life and you will think that you have done more than what you really did. Because you weren't intentional. You didn't declare. He says, "Decide in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." You see, we've all heard of the golden rule, haven't we? Here's the golden rule. Treat others the way that you want to be treated. But you know what? God raises it much higher than that. Here's the platinum rule. And the platinum rule is, treat others the way that God has treated you. Ask yourself, what is going to be my contribution of my life? And you'll begin to run with purpose. Let me give you this fourth one, and that is this. What will be the community of my life? What will be the community of my life? We're going to run with purpose. We've got to answer this question. And here's what I mean by that. Who will influence you? Do you realize, okay, let me rock your world, okay? Do you realize that you're the average of the five most important people in your life? The five people that you hang out with the most, you're the average of them? I can see some of you already are saying, "Uh-oh, I need to change my circle." You bet. You bet. Who's influencing you? Who do you need to dial up more, and who do you need to dial down more? You see, what happens is you have to ask, who's going to be the community of my life? Who's going to be the relationships that I allow to influence me? Because every man and every woman, every person in your life is influencing you. Solomon tells us like this. He says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. You know what he's saying here? Here's what he's saying. He's saying if you walk with wise people, the natural repercussion of that is you're going to grow wise. And what is a wise person? A wise person is one who knows what is right and then does it. But then here's the warning. He says that for a companion of fools suffer harm. He said what happens is if you don't have the right people in your community, if you don't have the right people in your circle, you're a fool. And you're going to suffer harm for that. And what is a fool? A fool is somebody who knows what is right and chooses to do otherwise. And so you have to ask yourself, listen, if some of you are going to run with purpose and run by faith, you need a new circle. Y'all right? You need a new circle because the people who are influencing you are influencing your thinking and your behavior in a way that's not going to allow you to run by faith and run with purpose. You see, your relationships determine the direction and the quality of your life. You don't like the quality of your life, change your relationships. You don't like the direction of your life, change your relationships. See, we teach this in Velocity. So all you parents should be happy about that. Because relationships are so huge and so important. And that's what we do in family life. We're teaching kids, we're teaching students to run with purpose. Let me give you this last one, and that is this. What will be the communication of my life? What will be the communication of my life? Here's what I mean by that. What will be your life message? What will be your life message? What's the most important thing that you could say to anyone? On your deathbed, what's the most important thing you would want to say to your family, your kids, your grandkids, your best friend? What's your life message? We all have one, and it's speaking very, very loud. Here's what it was for Paul. Paul said it like this, life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. Here's his life message. The work of telling others the good news about God's mighty kindness and love. You know what his life message was? Everybody's going to spend forever somewhere. And God wants you to spend it with him because he loves you and because he died for you. What's your life message? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die? Huh? See, your life is speaking a message to all of the people around you. And we have to be able to do it. And if we're going to determine to run by purpose, we have to wrestle with these questions. And I encourage you to go somewhere and spend a half an hour and wrestle with these, because one day you're going to stand before God and he's going to say, Dwight, I created you for a purpose. Did you run with purpose? Or did something else drive your life? And so it is here at New Point. We want to run with purpose. You know why? Because we believe that everybody matters. We believe that everybody spends forever somewhere. And we believe apart from knowing Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, you'll never be able to experience eternity with him. So I want you to listen to this testimony and hear why we're doing what we're doing and why we're challenging all of us to be amen. Check this out.
I started to go to New Point because a friend of mine, her daughter, had got her to go, and so I started to go with her, and I started going every Sunday. And then my son, he was 19 and started to go through some issues that I didn't know what it was that he was struggling with. And I asked him, said, do you want to go to church with me? Never thinking he'd say yes, but he did. And so he started coming with me, and so did my youngest daughter. And that lasted for about a month. And I would go pick him up in the mornings because he had moved out. And I go pick him up and bring him and drop him back off, and he really liked it, and he'd even said that maybe his friends would like it. And well, he got a new job and wasn't able to go with me on that Sunday. And so I got up, I went to church, then went to the grocery store, got groceries, got home, put him away, started to make dinner, and I get a phone call from my brother-in-law that they were taking my son to the emergency room and he wasn't breathing. We rushed up there, and by the time we got there, he was already gone. And it just so happened that I work at that hospital, and my friend, the one that invited me to come to New Point to begin with, she was there working in the room right beside where he was at. So she heard that we were over there, and she came in the room with us, and she said, "Is it okay if I call Brandon?" Which he was our Canton campus pastor. And I said, "Yeah." And it just seemed like seconds went by, and he was there. And he came in the room with me and my husband and my kids and prayed with us and sat there with us in the emergency room until we were ready to leave. I don't know if anybody else felt it, but that night I felt like the Holy Spirit was in that room. When he was in there praying, I felt like there was this tremendous power that was like around us that nobody could break through. And it was like this peaceful strength that even though I was going through something horrible, I still felt like, okay, I can do this. Joel decided then, and so did my kids, that they wanted to come to church with me.
With all the bad stuff happened, I just felt that I had to get closer to God. And just that night, just told me that you've got to start going to church with your wife and kids. I remember I told everybody, I don't ever question why it happened, because I trust what God does.
God uses even the bad things and makes it something good. And I'm so thankful that New Point has been there to learn how to do life right. And that there's all these resources that you have at your fingertips, and they're there for you to use when you need them. And I'm thankful that somebody decided to put that all together.
And that 1 hour here is like, when I walked out of there, I feel like I'm ready for the week. And it's amazing that sometimes you're sitting there and we'll look at each other and be like, were they in our living room this week? Are they serious? Because the stuff that is talked about in this church is true life stuff that I think everybody in that sitting there and every campus has dealt with in one way or another throughout that week or maybe that month. So we just love it. We love it. And I'm eternally grateful for this church, to this church, because, again, I don't know where me or my family would be without it. And I'll be coming for as long as I can get here. And if I can't get here, I'll ask someone to bring me. I'm not kidding you.
That's why I'm in. That's why I'm choosing to run by faith. That's why I want to run with purpose. Because I don't know a greater investment than that. And that's why I invite you to say today, I'm in. I encourage you to pick up a family kit today. I encourage you to be a part of a small group and begin to read daily how you can grow your faith and how you can run with purpose. I encourage you to do that today. In Acts 13, it says this, David served God's purpose in his own generation. David did the eternal in a contemporary way. He served God's purpose in his generation. It's why God called him a man after his own heart. So let me ask you a question. Will you serve God's purpose? Will you declare today, I'm in? For some of us, it's taking that first step and trusting Jesus Christ as the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life. And saying, God, I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to fill me with your love and make me the man, the woman that you've called me to be, and help me to run by faith and run with purpose. For others of us, we just need to begin to wrestle with those questions. What's going to be the center of your life? What's going to be the character? What's going to be the contribution? What's going to be the relationships? What's going to be your message of life? And begin to run with purpose. I promise you, you will begin to run to win. And you will win and win big, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you for all that you have given us. We thank you that you've given us physical life. We thank you that you've given us spiritual life. We thank you that you've given us a purpose and a meaning to life. And I pray today for myself as well as all of my friends here that we would run by faith and that we would run with purpose. And we would declare today before you, I'm in. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.